Now, there's a former millionaire who has ploughed his entire fortune into a charity to provide free transport for cancer patients. And he's currently on a 7,000-mile trek around Britain and Ireland. His name is Brian Burney, and he's 74 years of age. Brian wants to see the services that his charity provides in the northeast of England expanded right across the UK and Ireland. He's a former entrepreneur, and to make matters even more difficult for him, has Parkinson's disease, but gave up his stately home and other belongings and founded the Daft as a Brush, a cancer patient care charity in the northeast of England. That was 9 years ago. And on his walk, he is currently here in Donegal and is currently here in the studio in front of me. Brian.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Should I speak slowly because I'm a Geordie?
Not at all. We're well used to accents of all sorts here. Sure, Geordie, sure, didn't we have Jack Charlton managing the Republic of Ireland team for years, and we had no problems understanding him.
Oh, yes, well. Yes.
And he spoke as fast as any Geordie, I'd imagine. Anyway, how are you today?
Great, actually. The weather's been super. I've just stopped walking a couple of hours ago, and I restart up at Port Salon and walk around the headland there, so it's been quite a journey.
Oh, beautiful scenery.
It is, actually. I was brought up in Northumberland, which is a fantastic county in the northeast of England, and I've sung the praises of Northumberland and the coastline, but I'll be honest, I've put my hand on my heart, there's nothing comes up to Ireland, seriously. Mm-hmm. And you daft people here, and I'll say this on air, is why don't you tell everybody what a fantastic country you have here?
Everybody will be overrun then, you see. So well, we try to keep it fairly quiet, and we really enjoy it ourselves.
Well, I've walked beaches in Ireland here, and I could count the people on one hand.
That's crowded.
Yes, yes. And so what would happen if you had two handfuls? But no, seriously. But joking apart, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is I've been involved with charity work for some 50 years, and I changed the charity in 2010 to purely only transporting cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I'm meant to be a clever person, I know a few things, but I hadn't got a clue what I was letting myself in for.
Mm-hmm.
I never realised how important and demanding cancer patient transport is, not just in the northeast of England, but all over Great Britain and Ireland. It's the worst part about being an outpatient, not the chemotherapy, the radiotherapy, is getting to and from hospital on a daily basis. I would hate to find out how many people either don't go ahead with the treatment or give up the treatment because it's so difficult to get to hospital. Currently in the northeast, we're just scratching the surface. We do 40 or so thousand cancer patient journeys a year with a fleet of 30 vehicles. And I think that if we could take that all over Great Britain and Ireland, how many people would be saving lives? Because I can't guarantee the treatment. What I can guarantee is what will happen if the patient doesn't have the treatment.
Yeah.
So we've been to the City Hospital in Belfast. You've got an absolutely incredible gentleman there, Professor Joe O'Sullivan, who really is something special. Plus the fact that he's a rock star, I understand. And then, of course, we've been a flying visit to the Northwest Cancer Centre in Derry here.
Yeah.
And we're going back on Friday at 4 o'clock to go through a presentation on how hopefully we could bring what we do in Newcastle to the Derry area.
It would be brilliant. And you are in the right part of the world at the moment because we can speak volumes about this. Cancer patients here tend to, for certain treatments, go into Derry. But for the most part, it is down to Galway, which is maybe 4 hours away, depending, or up to Dublin, about three, depending on traffic again, 3.5 hours. Horrendous journeys for somebody who is getting treatment for cancer.
Well, I'll be completely honest, it's the same everywhere we've gone. I always remember, it's an old line, this shows how we have it. They're not going to rename the Freeman Hospital in Newcastle Daft as a Brush yet. That's next year, you see. But we were setting up an information desk because even people that just want information on, we set this desk up. However, we had to do that on a Saturday when the hospital wasn't busy. And this chap came in and he was looking very distraught. And I said, can I help you? Oh, he says, I've come in for a scan. I said, look, I don't work for the hospital, but I'll find out where you're to go. Just have a seat there. And I went back office there and I had a word with one of the consultants. I said, look, there's a chap in here. Said, oh, just put him, it'll be all right. And I went back and said, you're all right, you're in the queue, but don't worry. I said, have you travelled far? He travelled 2 miles from the Freeman Hospital on a Saturday. But he went for the bus.
Right.
And guess what? There wasn't a bus on Saturday. So what did he do? He walked from where he lived 2 miles.
To get treatment for cancer.
For treatment, yeah. And I thought, well, you know, it's not 200 miles. It can be effective by someone just covering two miles. So, and because he was wanting to create an impression, he had new shoes on. So he'd walk with a brand new pair of shoes 2 miles before his initial treatment. And he showed me his feet, and the shoes were brand new leather shoes. And he still had the label on from them. And I thought, you know, why wasn't this person put through to somebody like Dr. Brush? Because I'm not knocking the hospital in Newcastle, but that's the same sort of story all over. The fact I come from the business community and not the NHS, I can say this. The NHS in England and Britain is fantastic. They're into rocket science in a big way. But they're not very upmarket on common sense. Mm-hmm. And if we can integrate common sense and rocket science, we'll have it. Because the big thing that we've developed over the last 9 or 10 years in Newcastle is treatment and transport have to be integrated. When the patient's treatment plan has been organised, you should also organise how the patient's going to get to the hospital, irrespective of wherever they live from. So it's a doddle of a job. So I thought, why don't I go on a 7,000-mile walk, tell everybody about it.
Absolutely.
And it's like pushing an open door everywhere, whether it's England, yeah. Scotland, Wales, and now in Ireland. It really is. It's the same story everywhere. We need to grab hold of this nettle. And I know the powerful bodies will say, we can't afford the transport. Well, with the greatest respect, I know my wife's sitting next to me, she says, for God's sake, man, don't use the F word. If you can't, I shouldn't have said that, sure. If they can't afford the transport, they certainly can't afford the treatment. So, you know, it's getting the balance right because transport is equally as important as the treatment.
Well, no more than the example that you used, health service in the UK, and many would say it's exactly the same scenario here, and just not enough logical thinking and joined up thinking, and if there were, it would be much better for everyone. And especially for people who are at their most vulnerable, getting treatment for cancer, and it is a... And it's a time of their life when they are feeling very fragile and maybe very sick and then have to go on often long journeys or, you know, often don't know how they're going to get from here to there. You use the example of somebody who had to travel just 2 miles but ended up walking it. And whether it is 2 or 200, the journey has to be made. And it's great that you've said about trying to address this. Tell me about...
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Another thing that I didn't realise, those 9, 10 years or so when I first introduced the scheme, is how many patients live on their own, for whatever reason, it's not for me to say. Mm-hmm. So you've got two situations, you've got loneliness and cancer. Both are killers in their own way. You've got somebody with cancer inside of them that if it's not treated, it will kill them. Mm-hmm. And they go to bed on their own. The worry, their heart must be thumping. Mm-hmm. One little thing that we did, obviously over the years in Newcastle, we do the same here. Even though all the transports are organised and planned and etc., the night before, the driver of the ambulance rings the patient. I think we're giving this much. The patient thinks we're giving that. Because some patients never have a phone call. And to get a phone call, reassuring that tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon we'll be picking them up, it takes a whole load off the mind. I can't guarantee that they'll have a good night's sleep because they've got other issues on their mind, etc. But it's one thing that makes it that little bit easier. And it's those little things that make it so important. And, of course, the fact that we employ 350 volunteers in Newcastle, not one of them's getting paid. We only have a team of 5 paid staff. But those volunteers do because they want to do it. And that's... I'm not saying that you can't pay people to do some of the work that we do, but a lot of the work that we do, you can't pay somebody. Chemotherapy, I'm going to have a go at the chemotherapy department now. That's the one where it's always going wrong by the sheer nature of the treatment. And if a patient is having chemotherapy day in, day out, Monday to Friday, I can guarantee you by a Friday, they come out of the treatment walking on their heels. They're absolutely drained, they're shattered. And all they want to do is to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's going home in a high-rise block of flats on an interesting housing estate somewhere or a nice detached million-pound house, it doesn't make any difference. All they want to do is to go home and to sit in their own chair, etc., and to charge the batteries home for the next week's treatment, etc. But volunteers can only do, and I can guarantee you, we will have volunteers in Ireland. We'll even show the Geordies how to do it better.
Well, it's commendable what you're doing, but not made any easier by your Parkinson's diagnosis. So how are you managing with the day to day with the walking? How much distance do you cover on average every day?
We do about I've got to be careful what I say because my wife's sitting next to me. I'm only meant to be doing 12 to 15 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
We have done the odd 21 or 22 miles, not kilometres, mm-hmm. miles. So it depends. The target is to do 60 miles per week because I've already booked the ferry at Dublin to go back in mid-September. So I've got to do a few miles yet before I get back to Dublin.
And to get here, when you arrived in Ireland, you came into Dublin and then went north.
Yes, we took the ferry from Holyhead to Dublin. We actually live in a double-decker bus. It's going through Derry midday on Saturday.
The Bluebell bus.
The Bluebell bus.
Very distinctive.
Very distinctive. I've never worked with the bus industry before, but believe you me, it has been a bus. I think you pronounced it Bus Air and the National Bus Company, mm-hmm. for Ireland. They've been very kind to us in Dublin. Ulster Bus in Coleraine and the buses. And then it comes here to park at Bus Éireann on Saturday to help me to walk. And it's very important. So when we came across from Holyhead, there's the bus, the trailer with all the bits and pieces in.
Mm-hmm.
We've then got a Navara that pulls the generator because we have electricity. And then we've got a Nissan Note for the runabout. So you can't miss us. But
quite a cavalcade.
And of course, I know she's going to kill me because she's getting those evil eyes. When I did the walk from Newcastle up to John O'Groats along the top and down the west coast, we called it the Isle of Skye, and we've walked the Isle of Skye.
Beautiful.
Go and ask us, what happened on the Isle of Skye?
What happened on the Isle of Skye, by the way?
I got married.
You'd left it till then. Well, you took your time.
But everywhere we've gone, the red carpet's been thrown out to us. It really is quite
good,
amazing.
Good. And so you've met a lot of good people here, I presume, in Ireland, and shown a lot of hospitality.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, very credible. Yeah.
Well, that's what the purpose of interviews like this is to help raise awareness. And you've been in Port Salin, and you continue your walk
up to the headland.
Up to the headland. And then on from making your way into Derry at the weekend, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we get about a bit, but it's amazing how kind and generous people have been. And of course, it means that hopefully the target is to create 1 million cancer patient journeys a year that aren't being done in Great Britain and Ireland.
Yeah.
And we'll do it. And hopefully, who knows, the 1 million might go to quite a few more.
You've already given up a lot. A former millionaire, give up your big home, onto a bus, decided to walk around Britain and Ireland, now with Parkinson's. A lot of people in your situation are going, you know what, I'm going to go home, I'm going to take it easy, I'm going to look after my health, and I'm going to, you know, rely on my money. But you haven't. You've done the polar opposite.
But you see, if I had hung on to all of these possessions, and I spotted that I became a servant to my possessions. Well, when you don't have any possessions, I don't own a motor car, I don't own a house. I struggle with a mobile phone, but my wife tries to keep me right on that one. But the people I have met, it really has been a transformation. I've met some of the nicest people ever. One thing I don't like to promote, unfortunately you have today, is to say that I gave away a few pennies. Because if I'm talking to somebody and somebody donates, say, in English money, £2 or £3, you know, that £2 or £3 is equivalent to whatever I've given,
mm-hmm.
because it's a team effort, and that team effort will make it happen. So, what's this space?
Okay, well, we will follow your progress. And I was online earlier trying to figure out where exactly you were today. And I'm delighted that you've come in and done this in the studio. And heading off from Port Salon, so you'll be leaving from Port Salon. Is it you going back this evening or are you walking tomorrow?
Oh, walking tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, and along the way, people can contribute. You're taking donations on the bus.
Yeah. Oh, I've been told, this is my prompter in the background.
Yes, for the website.
That I can find out all about is bluebellbus.org.uk.
Okay, all the information is on there, the story that you've just outlined, how people can contribute, find out more about not just your journey, but what the aims of the organisation are. And people can join you on the walk, I presume, if they want.
We've had some lovely people who have joined us on the walk. It really has been quite moving. People just popped in and said hello. But they say, I've got a tracker fitted. I'm as much use as a chocolate fire god when it comes to technology. I've got a tracker fitted and an armband here that tells me what I'm at. So even though I don't know how to use these things, the mobile phone, I've been kept saying, the most complicated thing is you must take it with you, Brian. Stop forgetting to... But yes, so people can find out where we are.
Where exactly you are.
And the sun has always shone on us. So I can guarantee you a sunny day whenever you join us.
Yeah, well, I hope that it continues to shine on you and that you get a lot of good weather in your time here and beyond. And the best of luck with the rest of the walking. And I hope you meet a lot of nice people and get all the help that you deserve along the way. And all the contributions as well that will make the make it all worthwhile. Bluebellbus.org.uk. And Brian, thank you very much for... People can see the bus out on the road between here and Derry, between now and the weekend. People will no doubt see the distinctive bus and the other vehicles that go with it, but it's the Bluebell bus to look out
for. Bluebell bus, yes.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.